ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, Chapter 6, Text 35.
Sri Bhagavan Vacha Asamsayam Mahabaho Mano Durnigraham Chalam Abhyasena Tu Konteya Vairagena Chagriyate. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Asamsayam Mahabaho Mano Durnigraham Chalam Abhyasena Tu Konteya Vairagena Chagriyate. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Asamsayam Mahabaho Mano Durnigraham Chalam Abhyasena Tu Konteya Vairagena Chagriyate.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Shri Krishna said, O mighty arm son of Kunti, it is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, but it is possible by suitable practice and by detachment. Purport. The difficulty of controlling the obstinate mind, as expressed by Arjuna, is accepted by the personality of Godhead, but at the same time he suggests that by practice and detachment it is possible. What is that practice? In the present age, no one can observe the strict rules and regulations of placing oneself in a sacred place, focusing the mind on the Supersoul, restraining the senses and mind, observing celibacy, remaining alone, etc. By the practice of Krishna consciousness, however, one engages in the 9 types of devotional service to the Lord. The first and foremost of such devotional engagements is hearing about Krishna. This is a very powerful transcendental method for purging the mind of all misgivings. The more one hears about Krishna, the more one becomes enlightened and detached from everything that draws the mind away from Krishna. By detaching the mind from activities not devoted to the Lord, one can very easily learn Vairagya. Vairagya means detachment from matter and engagement of the mind in spirit. Impersonal spiritual detachment is more difficult than attaching the mind to the activities of Krishna. This is practical because by hearing about Krishna, one becomes automatically attached to the Supreme Spirit. This attachment is called parishanubhava, spiritual satisfaction. It is just like the feeling of satisfaction of a hungry man has for every morsel of food he eats. The more one eats while hungry, the more one feels satisfaction and strength. Similarly, by discharge of devotional service, one feels transcendental satisfaction as the mind becomes detached from material objectives. It is something like curing a disease by expert treatment and appropriate diet. Hearing of the transcendental activities of Lord Krishna is therefore expert treatment for the mad mind, and eating the foodstuff offered to Krishna is the appropriate diet for the suffering patient. This treatment is the process of Krishna consciousness.
Minitam yena tasmai shri guruve namaha shri chaitanya mano vishtam sthapitam yena bhutale swayam rupa kadamayam dadati swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavanamusha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Tam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sarvadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakana Moshcha Pancha Kalpatruvyascha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Patitanam Bhavinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare Hare I don't know if you heard recently there was a boy his name is Arjun he's from Delhi and he's a nice boy he has one very good quality about him. He's not envious. However, he had a great desire to study in one of the biggest educational institutes in India, IIT. And due to him not performing properly, he could not attain a seat there because he was unfaithful to his studies. Nevertheless, he was quite a philosophical person. And he had two philosophies about life. One, that all is in me. And two, that everything is in me. You know, all knowledge comes from within, like that. And due to him having this kind of outlook on life, he kept himself very aloof from all the other students. One day, recently we've been having some strange weather. It got extremely windy. So windy that he started having difficulty to breathe. He couldn't breathe in, he couldn't breathe out properly. So he looked up at the cosmos and he realized that everything is neutral up there. Everything is normal. And then he had a realization that there must be a God in control of material nature. And that it's foolish to think that it's not. And he just thought about the atheists, like the scientists, how they think like this. And he has a friend in Delhi temple, Hare Krishna devotee, who he sees as quite a great devotee, quite a great personality. He respects him a lot. So he was thinking about him because he would have conversations about this with him. And just at that moment, the Harinam party came past where he was. And he thought, oh, how amazing this is. You know, I'm just thinking about my friend in Delhi, who's a devotee, quite an amazing devotee, great devotee. And yeah, the Harinam party comes by. So he respected them, he offered, you know, greetings to them. And as they left, he thought to himself about his universal outlook in life. And just then he remembered, oh, I got to rush back home. I have to do some shopping. I have to buy some ingredients. And then I have to go back home because mom has to cook dinner. So at home was his family, his mother, his father, his grandfather, and his little brother, Omkar. Okay, everybody heard the story? Now you must be wondering, what on earth is this guy talking about? I mean, to start a class like this, what is this guy talking about? What I just told you is actually didn't happen. It's a story that I made up. It's called a parable. But it sounded realistic enough, right? What is this? This is a technique of how to remember something, a large chunk of information. What I just told you, this story about this boy, is actually the summary of the first 17 verses of the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So you must be thinking, oh my God, how is this? You never said anything about Gita, nothing about Krishna, you're talking about this boy who had some breathing problem and he wanted to go to IIT. What's this you're talking about?
This is a special technique called mind mapping. Today's verse, we're talking about how to practice abhyas, controlling the mind. If we learn these, if we learn a technique of how to do this, we'll be able to retain large volumes of knowledge that we can apply. Recently, I always had difficulty with this. Before I joined Krishna Consciousness, I was a teacher. And I always had difficulty in trying to contextualize information. You know, we always learn something. Sarva Dharman Parichaja, something like that. 1866. You remember it in individual pockets. But to remember what happened before that, that is 66th verse. What happened in the 50th verse? What happened in the 40th verse? What happened in the 30th verse? It's not so clear, isn't it? I think we all have some difficulties with this. Until 2 weeks ago, I met a very great teacher of education who is in our community. Her name is Mother Yashoda. And she gave me some videos on this Dr. Wilkinson and how he teaches you to develop your mind for learning, for retaining knowledge, how to understand the power that is. It's not based on IQ. It's just based on simple techniques of picture and storytelling. So let's go back to the story quickly and we can see. What was this boy's name?
Arjun.
Good, somebody was listening. There was a boy, I told you he's from Delhi, right? Just to get your attention. Okay, there was a boy, his name was Arjun. What is the amazing quality that he's non-envious, good. Now if we go to the first verse of the 9th chapter, Prabhu, Adidev Prabhu, can you check? Yeah. Open the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. First verse there. We're just going to skim through this quickly. So just you can see how just a simple story like this. This boy, non-envious, had a desire to study, couldn't get in. He had a philosophy about life, right? All is one, all is in me. And we're going to go through this quickly. Just so you can see, just one paragraph story can give you the essence in your own words, which have meaning to you, of such a large volume of information. Okay? So the first verse, 9th chapter. No, just the translation, because it's time. You can follow in your Gita if you open also. Yeah. Yes. Right. So the essence of it, you're not envious of me. Here's this boy. He's not envious. Good quality of him. What happened to him? What did he have a desire? He had a desire to study in the highest educational institute in India, IIT. Second. Yes, the king of education. Right? Topmost knowledge. Keep the book there, okay? King of education, topmost knowledge. Third verse. He was trying to enter, he could not attain his seat. Why? Because he was unfaithful, I said, to his studies. Third verse. Right. See? You see how it's fitting in? Alright. Fourth verse. He had a philosophy about life, which was, all is in me, everything is in me. Fourth verse. Yeah. Right. All beings are in me. So you got the essence of it there. Right? Next verse, number 5. Yes. So everything is coming from Krishna, but it does not rest in him. Right? You see the pattern? Number 6, what happened to him? One day all of a sudden it got windy. So number 6. So something in that 6th chapter, 6th text is talking about the wind. And then what happened? He couldn't breathe properly, I said, right? So what's that breathing? Mahavishnu breathes in universes and breathes out, creates and unmanifests. That's Mahavishnu. By breathing he does that. Okay, 7th verse. Yes, enter in? Right. So they enter into him, breathing in and breathing out. Hmm? And then what happened to him? So he looked up and he saw the cosmos, this word I used, which doesn't make very good sense in that story, but just to get your attention, cosmos, cosmic. Number 8? Yes, the whole cosmic order is under Krishna. And then number 9, he looked at it, but it all looked normal to him, neutral, I said. Number 9? Yeah. As if neutral, right. So the neutral word is there. And then number 10, he had a realization that it is all under God's control. The material energy is under God's control. What's the verse? Maya Dakshena Prakriti. Read the translation. Yes. It's working under my direction. Right? And then I said, oh, he had a realization that only foolish people think that it's not. Okay, next one, 11. Yes, fools deride. And the next one I said that he thought about the scientists and the atheistic viewpoints about this. Yes? Yes. See? And then the next one I said, well, then he thought about his friend who lives in the Hare Krishna temple in Delhi, was a great devotee, Matmanastu Mam Patal. What's the translation? Yes, great souls. Right, so you got the essence of the verse there. 12, then what happened? He's thinking about this devotee, all of a sudden the Harinam party came by. So, they're chanting, Satatam Kirtayantu Mam, 14. Yes. That's 40. And then he realized, oh, I gotta get home because I have to buy some ingredients for home's cooking. Ingredients was the secret, the main word there. And Krishna says in 50, he had a universal outlook, I was saying. He had a universal outlook about his philosophy. 15 speaks about the universal form. Yeah? Read it. Knowledge worships the universal form. Yeah, right. So that's his. And then on his way home, he had to buy some ingredients, which was, Krishna says, I am the yajna, I am the, read the translation. Right, so it's all those things is Krishna, it's ingredients. If you do yajna, you need all those things, all these ingredients. And then when he goes home, his family is at home. And who is his family? His mother, his father, his grandfather, and his brother Omkar. What's the 17th one?
I am the father of this universe.
Yeah,
mother,
yeah,
the
yeah,
and the dancer,
yeah,
the
home. Right. So you get, I think by now you get what we're talking about. So just a simple paragraph in my own, which has meaning to me, we've summarized 17 verses of one of the most important chapters of the Gita. You can do the rest, but we won't have time. And, you know, I found this to be such a powerful tool. Just a simple story again. This boy, his name is Arjun, non-envious, wanted to study at the highest educational institute, couldn't get in because he was unfaithful, had a philosophy about life, all is in me, everything is in me, kept himself aloof from other students. One day he was going, it was very windy, couldn't breathe properly, in and out, manifest, in manifest. You get the story. Just that simple paragraph, to me, has so much meaning because I can reference in my mind whatever aspect of that story I want. And later on we'll put that to test a bit. Okay? So this is a technique of how to control the mind. This is a technique of how to practice abhyas for preaching purposes. In the context of what we're going to discuss today, we're going to speak about that now. But it's a very powerful technique. You can even do this by drawing a picture. doesn't have to be very elaborate, but if it has meaning to you, things that you put in there, we'll do that in some other class later. But it's a wonderful technique of how to remember something, because we always remember a story, right? We always remember a story, especially if it had something like when I said, oh, he couldn't breathe properly. He says, oh my God, is this guy going to die or what? You know? So it has impressions on us. But to me, it means the manifest and unmanifest of the universes of Mahavishnu. So like that, if you can just dovetail the idea, it's very powerful. You can use it and see. Just like in this few minutes, in 5 or 10 minutes now, you've actually learnt the sequence of 17 verses of the most important chapter in the Gita. So going back to today's verse then, I just did that because your minds will be very alert when you first come in, right? So that you'll remember the story. And I guarantee you, if I had to ask you the story 1 month from now, hey, what happened to that boy Arjuna? You remember we spoke about him? You'll get it. You'll remember, yeah, he had some breathing problem. He wanted to go to IIT and this, that. You'll get the whole sequence again. You don't forget it. So when you're preaching about it, you know, oh, yeah, you know, the breathing part was, there was a lot of strong wind. Yeah, that's text 6. Oh, neutral. Oh, yeah, that was text 9. You know, text 10, the material energy control. So in this way, you can contextualize the rest of the chapter. I found it very powerful. I thought I'd share that with you, seeing that we're talking about how to practice abhyas. So where do we find Arjuna here? Arjuna, in the 33rd verse, was expressing to Krishna, especially after Krishna spoke for so long. And he says, Yoyam yogas tvaya prokta, samyena madhusudana, etasyaham napasyami, chanchalavat stitam stiram. He's saying, Krishna, this, all this yoga that you told me to do, this practice, I can't do this. This is way beyond me. And then the next verse, 34, he's saying, Chanchala hi manasa Krishna, pramati balavaditam, tasyaham nigramam manye, vayu eva viduskaram. He's giving why he's disturbed. It's the mind. My mind is chanchal. It's flickering. Not only that, it's obstinate. Prabhupada used that word. Prabhupada used that word in today's purport. Obstinate. So if something is so powerful, there's four adjectives that describe that one concept. It's obstinate, it's strong, it's restless. So Arjuna is expressing himself, you know, after all Krishna is speaking, finally Arjuna asks this question. So he heard the whole yoga process. And it's not like he's not, doesn't have the ability to control. You know, he has tremendous ability of control. But what he's saying is, why I refer to that verse, because the answer to that is in today's verse. How actually to do it then? Krishna is saying, this is how, by abhyas, by practice. This is how we can control the mind. Now, a very good example of how the mind moves is in what I just spoke about. Arjuna, when he first expressed himself to Krishna, what was his argument? Krishna, I will not fight. He put down his Gandiva bow. I will not fight. That was his main argument, right? He didn't want to fight. Now what's his argument? Now he's saying, Samyena Madhusudana, in this 33rd verse, two verses before. That means, how do you want me to see Samyena equal to everyone? How can I see Yudhisthira and Duryodhana equally? So what has happened? There's a contextual shift in the Gita all of a sudden. Because Arjuna is saying one thing when he was first bewildered. That bewilderment was, I will not fight. In the 442. You have that, you have 442 there, Adidev Prabhu? Yeah. We've read this. Where Krishna is firing him up. Come on, pick up your bow. 442. Yeah. Yeah. Knowledge, yeah. Stand up and fight. Come on. Then we only hear of this fighting concept in the 11th chapter, 11:33. Can you reference that one? 11 text number 33. You can follow if you find it also. 11:33. Again, after so many verses, so many chapters, then again we hear about the fighting. What does he say there?
Therefore, get up.
Ah.
Prepare to fight.
Yeah. Yes. 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 Namitra matrena bhava savisachi. You are become the instrument. So that's the only part we hear about fighting. And then again at the end, when Krishna says, "Now you do what you want to do. I want you to fight, but you take the choice of what you want to do." What's happened all of a sudden? The whole mood of the fighting thing is not important anymore. Now Arjuna is saying, I can't see them equally. You want me to see some Yena Madhusudana? I can't see them equally. How, after Duryodhana arranged to kill my son, and how can I see him same as Yudhisthira? It's very difficult. So there's a change all of a sudden. This is the mind, how it works. One moment, this is important, and we think it's really extremely important, and the next moment, this is important, and this is really extremely important. But it's not, it's the mind that is changing there. This is a vivid example of how the mind works. The mind does three things. It's responsible for thought, it holds all our past experiences, and it brings up unfulfilled desires. This is the nature of the mind. So, if we understand this, then we can perform abhyas, practice some form of how to curb this, how to control. Because Krishna is saying here, it can be done, it's not impossible, by detachment and by abhyas, by practice. One of the big psychologists in Western psychology, his name is Sigmund Freud. I don't know if you heard of him. Famous person. And he expressed the mind. He says the mind is a house. It's like a house, but not an ordinary house. A haunted house. Very expressive. What is a haunted house? It means it is just crazy. It's restless. There's all some activity going on subtly there. And Krishna explains, Bhinnam Prakriti Astada. The mind is my separated energy. So we have some understanding in Vedic knowledge about the mind, but in Western psychology not so much is understood. So Prabhupada, one of the most vivid expressions that Prabhupada gave that I've read for myself of the mind, he describes the mind as churning. It churns up emotions, positive and negative. It churns up. You've seen how they make ghee and yogurt, they churn it. The mind just stirs it up, brings it up. You don't want to think about something. Why does it come? It's the nature of the mind. It just brings it up like that. And if those of you who watched the last video of Prabhupada, the final lesson, it's a very strong video. Prabhupada is almost has very little energy left, and on his bed he's lying there and he's dictating, and he quotes this verse, Purusha Prakriti Stohi Bhunta Prakriti Janguna Karuna Guna Sangasya Sat Asat Janme Yonishu. How the mind, the living entity, is trying to enjoy being trapped by the three modes of material nature. And he's just twisted in this whole thing. But he can come out of it if he rises up to the mode of goodness. And Prabhupada, in a very deep, low voice, he says, you should maintain good association. You should attain devotee association. Like this, his voice is. You should maintain good association. You should maintain devotee association. In that way, you'll come up to the mode of goodness. This is the secret of abhyas, of practice. Until we come to a steady form, level of the mode of goodness, it is extremely difficult to control the mind. very restless. Because if you're in the mode of passion, how are you going to do it? You have to rise above passion, which is goodness. And only in that state can you control the mind. Then you can see the truth for what it is. So it's extremely difficult. If only until you come to that mode of goodness platform is it possible. This is a great secret behind practicing. Try to cultivate your lifestyle so that you come more to the mode of goodness. And in that way you'll be able to hear. Nobody can hear Bhagavatam for long periods of time or chant with devotees for long periods of time if they're not in the mode of at least some part of their time in the mode of goodness. And that's the secret Prabhupada also gives in the purport, the treatment, the medicine, that to hear Shravanam. He describes the 9-fold process of devotional service and he says one should hear about Krishna. In that way one develops attachment to Krishna. Because the mind, whatever is circulating in it, it gets attached to. Naturally, whatever you're thinking about, whatever you're contemplating about, you get attached to that. So if you're cultivating more hearing about Krishna, you're cultivating more devotee association, automatically your mind is thinking more about Krishna. You're becoming absorbed in that. And together with prasadam, Prabhupada, one lecture I'll never forget, especially in the early days, I couldn't understand Prabhupada's accent. I don't know if you had that experience also in the early days. Maybe now you're used to it. And Prabhupada would say, he said, you should keep yourself busy. I said, what on earth is busy? You know, I couldn't catch the word. I put it again. You should keep yourself busy in Krishna consciousness. I said, what is this word, busy? And I asked somebody, he said, no, Prabhupada is saying busy, but it's his accent, he's busy. And I said, oh wow, okay. Keep yourself busy. And then if you say, he continued to say, you keep yourself busy and if you're tired, you take some rest. And if you're hungry, you take some prasad. Otherwise, you continue hearing and chanting about Krishna. And our process in essence is hearing, dancing and chanting. Hearing, feasting and chanting. Dancing, feasting and chanting in essence. So such a simple, wonderful process. Can you imagine, like Prabhupada is saying in the purport, it's not practical to sit in isolation somewhere. It's only a matter of time before your mind starts giving you trouble. But by engaging the senses, Rishikesha Rishikena Sevanam Bhakti Uchate, engaging your senses in devotional service, then you begin to purify it. So we were saying earlier on, Arjuna, it's not that he didn't have sense control. He was extremely controlled. We know what concentration it took to shoot, to aim at the bird. You remember in the Mahabharata when Dronacharya asked them, do you see that tree? Do you see the bird? And shoot the bird. And Arjuna said, I don't see the tree, I only see the bird. What concentration that takes. When he had to shoot the fish, the eye of the fish, looking in the reflection of the water, and the water was not calm water, it was restless, the water was shaken up. So to see that reflection and to shoot, what concentration that takes. And we see in practical life also, in order to achieve anything, those people who actually achieve, I was just talking to Adidev Prabhu about that just now before the class, and he was quoting somebody that they have such great control and understanding of the Bhagavatam, and then he commented that because they work hard at trying to understand it. How do they work hard at doing it? It's achieving. It's setting yourself a goal to want to know it. And then when you master it, like we just did with the first 17 chapters, it's a story, but you'll never forget it. And in that way you know there's something about wind in the first few verses. There's something about education. There's something about neutral. There's something about control of material nature. You'll never forget it. So Arjuna was able to concentrate like that and meditate. Meditation in Badrinath in the Himalayas, right on top of Himalayas, there's two mountain ranges there called Nar and Narayan Rishi. And this is Arjuna and Krishna. They're meditating there. And we know part of the process of this Ashtanga Yoga, of this meditation, the seventh level is Dhyanam. Yam, Niyam, Asana, Pranayam, first four. Then Pratyahara, giving up sense enjoyment. Dharana, concentration. Dhyanam, meditation. And Samadhi. So Arjuna is already on that level there. If he's in the Himalayas and he's doing that, is he not able to control his senses? Even another name of him is Gudakesh. One is conquered sleep. Just 2 days ago was Padmini Ekadasi, and some of the devotees were doing Jagaran, Nirjan Ekadasi. And the next day they were telling me, he says, hey Prabhu, it was tough. It was tough not to sleep the whole night, keep up, try to, you can't even stay awake, it's just so difficult. Sleep, Nidra Devi is so merciful. She just pulls, you know. Yes. So it's so difficult. Another way to understand how the mind works in modern psychology is body language. Everybody emits some kind of body language. And especially when you're giving class, you learn to pick this up when somebody is not paying attention, somebody is restless, somebody's mind is gone off. So the Sigmund Freud, he studied this quite in detail. And one of the things he would say is that if you ask somebody, excuse me, can you kindly help me with tomorrow in this activity, I need your help. And if you want to say no, then the person says, well, you know, I'll try my best to, but look at my head. I'm saying no, I'm shaking my head from left to right, but I'm saying I'll try to, you know. So he uses this as an example for body language to say, well, I'll try to help you, you know, I'll do my best to try to help you, but I'm saying it, my body language is saying no, I can't help you. And then I laughed at it because I thought in India if you do that, people say yes when they do this also, you know. They shake their head like this. He doesn't know whether he's saying yes or no, you know. So I said, no, this won't work in India, you know. It's a little, maybe only for the Western people if they move left and right. Anyway, this is the mind. Very powerful entity. And not easily to control. But Krishna is saying by abhyas it's possible. And the other point it says by vairagya. Now the mind is the mechanism, but the controller entity, the controller, the one that masters the mind is Maya, the illusionary energy. And she's very expert at this. In the Bhagavatam we know Lord Shiva is described as Vaishnava Yatha Shambho. But in the Bhagavatam also Maya is described as Vaishnavi Jana Mohini. She who bewilders the people, Jana, people, Mohini, bewilderer. She who has the ability to bewilder, to enchant, to captivate. This is her power, because naturally this is her service. It's a thankless task. But she does it so expertly so that nobody who's unqualified can go back. Just like when you get a job, before you take the job, you go for an interview. Right? You go for an interview. What is the interview about? To make sure that you qualified for the job. Just like that, she's interviewing us every moment to make sure that we qualify to go back to the spiritual world. It's a thankless task. Just like as Krishna is merciful, she is merciless to the conditioned souls. Very strong. So we heard a verse, although she is like that, but she's under Krishna's control. And in the story of, I told you about Arjuna, where did we hear this part? Where he had some realization of material energy being under, there must be a god, he said. What happened there? Anybody remember? Forgot. Yeah, he looked up and then he had a realization. Good. So it comes in way, in text number 10. Maya dakshayana prakriti suyate sacharacharam. She's under Krishna's control. If you develop attachment for Krishna and she sees it's genuine, she will help you then. Otherwise, she is merciless. She will push you to the limits of your testing. So the other aspect that Krishna explains, we are 5 minutes, is in detachment, vairagya. And it's not always so easy. I remember in the Brahmachari Reader by Bhakti Vikash Maharaj, he says there that we should practice yukta vairagya. So he says, don't just practice yukta. We have to practice vairagya only. Yukta on its own does not work, because yukta on its own ends up in bhukta, enjoyment. He describes it like that. So some detachment must come there. And I'm sure everybody is reading the 15th chapter. It's now Purushottam Mass. Everybody is reading the 15th chapter of the Gita called?
Yoga.
Right, good. Yoga of the Supreme Person. Purushottam Yoga. Yoga of the Supreme Person. Well, what is it talking about? What is it talking about, the first part of it? The first part of it is talking about this banyan tree. And what does it symbolize? It symbolizes detachment from this material world. Actually, the Vedas are meant for, in that first verse of that chapter, Prabhupada says in the purport that the Vedas are meant for detachment from this material world. One day one devotee asked Prabhupada said many things about what will please him. But one of the things he said, this devotee asked him, Prabhupada, what will please you the most? And he said, if you come to realize how miserable this material world is and just go back home, that will please me the most. So in the 33rd verse of this, of the 9th chapter, we did 17. In the 33rd verse speaks about, can you reference that point? 9:33, okay. Vidarbha Prabhu, you can check it. 9:30. Very nicely Krishna explains there how the devotees do it. How the devotees practice Abhas, Abhyas Yoga. 9:33. You got it? Yeah. Just the translation. Yeah? Brahmanas, okay.
The devotees and the saintly kings, therefore having come to this temporary miserable world, engaged in Brahman service.
Yes, having come to this temporary miserable point, what did they do? They engage in loving service to me. How nicely Krishna puts it. He knows. And that's what we're all doing. But another powerful point, and we'll end on this last 2 points. Another powerful point that as we cultivating bhakti, Maya has a big trick up her sleeve. Just as we cultivating the bhakti lata beej, there's also the karma beej in the heart, that of unfulfilled desires that come up. And if we water that also, there is a fine line between bhakti and that which is non-devotional, because it's a matter of consciousness. So just as when we may be doing some spiritual activity, we may even be doing chanting, we may be leading a kirtan, but as we get feel, oh, I can do this, Krishna gives ability in man, I feel I can do this, I'm good at this, everybody is saying I'm good at this. So we cultivating that, but if we lose the track of the devotional aspect, slowly we start to water the karma beach, because it's our ability. That's what we're feeling. And we start losing the taste for devotional service. It's very subtle point. This is how powerful the mind is. This is how Maya slowly pulls us away. So watch for this point in whatever we're doing. Therefore, after a time in practicing devotional service, the highest quality to actually achieve is humility. To try to start to become humble in what I'm doing. Humility means you know there's somebody superior. If we forget that humility point, and we see in the great Mahatmas, they're so extremely humble. extremely humble. So it's something that has to be cultivated. That point has to be cultivated. And how is it cultivated? Prabhupada gives the essence of that in this translation today. Parasanu bhava. Being spiritually satisfied. What an amazing accomplishment. If anybody can be satisfied in this world, it's amazing. To be spiritually satisfied means he needs nothing from this material world. And he's self-content. And Prabhupada is saying that's the point one should, that's the goal of abhyas, of the practice. We want to come to that point where we spiritually self-satisfied. We don't need anything external. We're happy to hear about Krishna. Where did we hear about this? We heard about this in the story also, about this boy Arjun. As he thought about his friend in Delhi, what happened all of a sudden? The Harinam party came by. What text is that? Yes, text number 14. Satatam kirtayanto mam yetantasya ditavata namasham chastamam bhakta nitya yukta upasate. That they always chanting my glories. Not easily. Can you read the verse? With great determination. What does it mean? It's not easy. 9:14. That's why this is the most important chapter. How many wonderful verses there, huh? 9:14. Yes, always chanting my glories. And? Endeavoring with great determination. Means it's not easy. And? Bowing down before me. Yeah. Yes. Great souls. Perpetually. Yeah. Perpetually means continually. And how do they do it? With devotion. What a powerful verse. Just if you meditate on that verse, what wonderful spiritual desires it brings up. Isn't it? Just to think of this, what a wonderful thing if I could achieve this state. This is parisanubhava. They're completely satisfied. They don't want anything external. So this is what we want to try to achieve. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anybody has any questions or comments? Yes, Madhuri, please. Yes. 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 We see that now in Purushottam Mas, many devotees are doing that, isn't it? How wonderful it is. You see the mood automatically, even in our ashram. Everybody is somehow studying or reading. It's so amazing. Everybody is absorbed. Most of the brahmacharis are doing some type of austerity, and they always absorbed hearing. You always see headphones on, or they're reading something, trying to study something. I've seen some groups also. I tried to develop something myself. So, but how wonderful it is. We're giving less focus to the body. And we're developing more of the spiritual desires. Satam prasangam mamaviri samvido. This Kapila Dev's Bhavantiritkana rasayam kathaha. Tyajo sanansva apavarga vatmani shradha ratim bhaktir anukramisati. 325-25. Kapila Dev explains how by satam prasangam, associating with these kind of devotees, kana rasayam kathaha, your ears start developing the quality of nectar to listen to this nectar. And then shraddha ratim bhaktir anukramisati. Devotion, faith starts developing in your heart. Deep, not just superficial. So it's so wonderful that if you're practicing this, we feel so enlivened. So we all know once Purushottam Mass is over, we're just thinking of the feast on that day, right? Okay, after the feast, try to catch something that you've done in this month. And it will be so amazing. I'm feeling so inspired by this new technique, you know. I'm gonna try to adapt it to as much as I can of the Gita. And then at least I can remember something. Like one of the shortest chapters in the Gita is chapter 12. Only 20 verses. So try to create a story. Something, somewhere that has meaning to you that you can adapt out again. And I tell you, it will be so powerful, because when you preach or you speak about it, then you'll have contextual and visual information, not just basic, but as a reference. You'll be able to know, oh yeah, these are the verses before that, these are the verses after that. And it's all a story that only you know. It's in your mind. Like I made up this story today. So I have the rest of the story for this chapter. It's 34 verses there, but I won't tell it to you now. And it at any one point I can just like pick out something from it and say, oh yeah, I know. It's talking about Soma Ras here. It's talking about whatever, offering flowers here. Patram Pushpam Phalam. So many beautiful verses there. And I know what will come after, what will come before. So try this. You'll feel very enlivened in your study. Srila Prabhupada. Yes. Mother Yashoda, are you part of that? Okay, so you know what I'm talking about then. Okay. So did you find it very enlivening?
Chapter 11.
Chapter 11, nice, huh? Wow, see? Excellent. There's an example right here. Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Go Premanande. Okay. Good. Hare Krishna.